I just want to come briefly to the gun rights argument here as well that's happening in parallel to that, because Alex Pretti was carrying a licensed gun. He's allowed to do that in America. But the administration made the argument that it made him a threat. That's become quite interesting in terms of gun rights lobby groups.
That's right. In addition to what I was saying about the aggregation of video evidence here and why that was a game changer, I think you also have an unusually sympathetic victim here, not only for Americans at large, but including many Republicans, many Trump supporters. First of all, to be blunt, you know, unlike George Floyd, who also died in Minneapolis 5 years ago sparking protests, Alex Pretti was a white male. On top of that, he was an intensive care nurse looking after military veterans, of all things, which is obviously a big constituency for Republicans. And then, yes, as you say, he was a licensed gun owner. He had a weapon on him at the time, which was part of that early rhetoric. And making the argument that he should not have had a gun, or that that somehow justifies the crackdown on him and the killing of him, plays very badly with libertarian Republicans, big defenders of the Second Amendment. People have been pushing this cause for decades, and I think Republicans probably have their head in their hands when they hear Trump himself saying, you know, you should not take a gun to a protest, and saying that was a bad idea.
When the NRA is calling for a full investigation, that's what made me sit up.
Yes, the National Rifle Association, just such a big cornerstone of Trump and Republican support for years. And this is what tends to happen. You know, Trump is such an ideologically mixed figure, the way he tends to scramble these things. And we've seen it a bit on abortion as well and other issues. Republicans have to tie themselves into knots and abandon all sorts of their principles just to be with Trump. And in this case, I mean, gun ownership has been so sacred to the Republican ideology for so long. It's a tough one for them to get out of. And I think that is yet another reason why Trump has at least given the impression of at least partially backing down in Minnesota.
Just briefly, what do you think about the response from the Democrats? Do you think it's been strong, or are they a bit missing in action?
Somehow they always manage to be missing action, and they infamously sort of tend to fire off strongly worded letters. In this instance, I'm not entirely sure what else they could have done. Where they could be, they were sort of public in their statements denouncing this and using strong language, and in some cases comparing ICE and Border Patrol to the Gestapo. I think, to be fair to the Democrats, one tool they do have in their kit here is to potentially shut down the government over funding. As the week goes on, there are six bills all put together for government funding, and it includes money for Homeland Security. And it was notable, you know, what a fundamental shift came about because of the Alex Pretti killing. Suddenly, Democrats who in the past had voted for this bill or similar were now saying they're not going to support it. There's a real groundswell among Senate Democrats to strip the Homeland Security factor out, and it significantly increased the possibility of a government shutdown. Meanwhile, over in the House of Representatives, last time I looked, three-quarters of Democrats there are backing a measure to impeach Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary. Again, they don't have a majority, not going to happen, but at least it's important symbolically to do that. So, yeah, somehow you always wish Democrats were slightly better at messaging and getting the headlines, but to be fair, they're not doing nothing. And so often in recent years with Democrats, perhaps the more interesting players are often the ones that are outside Congress. And I would say both Governor Tim Walz and Mayor Jacob Frey have been leaders on this and outspoken and really channeling a lot of both the grief and the anger of the people of Minnesota.
David, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
That was Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief David Smith. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. And just before we go, for any of you listening on Spotify, there are changes underway on the platform, meaning it might be harder to find us there from now on. So if you want to keep up to date with our latest episodes, hit follow Full Story on Spotify to ensure you don't lose us. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.